magnificent church of the seven, this great church at Philadelphia. Tremendous, tremendous church. And we'll look at verses 7 through 13. Verses 7 through 13. We've entitled our lesson tonight, "The Church at Philadelphia, Faithful Though Feeble." Faithful though feeble. Amen. And so we'll look at Revelation chapter number 3, beginning in verse 7, reading down through verse number 13. If you have an old-fashioned King James Bible, would you say amen? I'm so glad we can have God's Word, and I'm so glad for the promises that God promised to preserve His Word unto all generations. Inspiration is no good without preservation. Amen. So glad I have the Word of God right here in my hand. You do too. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, I'll begin reading in verse 7. Would you read the even-numbered verses as I read the odd-numbered verses? Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Father, we pray that you'd bless your word now. Thank you for the privilege of singing praises to you. Thank you for the privilege of bringing our requests to you. We pray now that you'd till up the fallow ground of our hearts. Lord, help us to have good soil to receive the seed of the Word of God. Change us because of the message tonight. Lord, we pray, divine Holy Spirit, that you do your office work. We love you. We thank you for all that you give to us. Thank you most of all for dying on the cross for us, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And as I've said so many times, I have thoroughly enjoyed this study of the churches. Amen. We've got one more. It's not a pleasant church to look at. Next week we'll be looking at the church at Laodicea. But praise the Lord for this wonderful church at Philadelphia. Number one, a familiar outline, I know, the area. Number one, the area. Verse 7 talks about this area of Philadelphia. The city of Philadelphia was established in 140 BC by Attalus, also known as Attalus II, Attalus Philadelphius, the Greek king of Pergamos. Okay, so the city of Philadelphia was established in 140 BC by Attalus Philadelphius, the Greek king of Pergamos. It was a city which was specifically built for the spreading. It was a city which was specifically built for the spreading of Greek culture throughout the known world. It was a city which was specifically built for the spreading of Greek culture throughout the known world. This had much to do with its strategic location, as it bordered on Mysia, Lydia, and Phrygia. Okay? So this idea here, it was a place that, much like Jerusalem, we think of how God took his missionary efforts to Jerusalem. Why? Because that's where the known world was, and it went from Jerusalem to all Judea, to Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. This was the thinking behind the city of Philadelphia here. It was located 28 miles southeast of Sardis. So we're doing this big circle, amen, with these seven churches here. It was located 28 miles southeast of Sardis. Over its long history, it was the victim of many earthquakes, including one in 17 AD that leveled it and Sardis as well. And so here's the area, a little bit about the city of Philadelphia. Number two, the assembly, also in verse number 7 there, unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Can I just say this? Boy, I'll tell you what, I'm glad when I go away in a city, I'm glad when I go away that there's a church in that city. Amen? I'm glad when I go away on vacation and I can say, I want to find a good church in that city. There was a good church in Philadelphia here. There's no record of when the church at Philadelphia was established. I know familiar fodder here. Several churches, we've had this similar statement here. However, many have placed its founding by Paul on his third missionary journey. That's Acts 19:10. And he preached the gospel unto all Asia. Very, very interesting considering this church and some of the language we'll talk about in just a little bit about that. But this church was most certainly characterized by the name of the city in which it was planted. This church was most certainly characterized by the name of the city in which it was planted. The word, and we give you there the Greek spelling, Philadelphia. The word Philadelphia, blank line there in parentheses, the word Philadelphia is used no less than 8 times in 7 verses in the New Testament. Hold your place here in Revelation and let's do a little walking through our Bible tonight here. The first one there, first blank line, is Romans 12:10. Romans 12:10. So go there, write that down, Romans 12:10. And I'll wait a little bit and then I'll go ahead and read. If you don't get there in time, don't you worry about it. Amen. You can look it up on your own time. Romans 12:10 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." What a great verse. What a great verse. But obviously Philadelphia there, brotherly love. We know our city here in Pennsylvania, city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Next reference there, second line, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. And it says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." Paul said, I don't even have to write about that. You know what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to love one another. Hey, God help the church. It's not so in our church. I've been in churches, though. God help the church where there's no love for the brethren. There's no love for the brethren. According to the Scriptures, there's no love for God. He that loveth, how can he love me whom he hath not seen and not love his brother whom he hath seen? That's what God said. Amen. So this church here, Thessalonica. Next reference, Hebrews 13:1. Hebrews 13:1, a word study here on the word Philadelphia. This is one of these shorter verses in the Bible. Some young people have looked at this and said, this is a good memory verse, Pastor John. Let brotherly love continue. Good verse for siblings, amen. Let brotherly love continue, okay? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Next verse, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, and thus far we've seen it, the word Philadelphia translated as brotherly love, brotherly love, brotherly love. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, we see a similar translation, but not exactly the same. "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Okay? Love of the brethren here is the translation of Philadelphia, 1 Peter 1:22. Next line, 2 Peter 1:7. 2 Peter 1:7. Just a couple pages over. And you remember this here, the giving all diligence, adding to your faith and building on your faith. And verse 7 says, into godliness, brotherly kindness. Into brotherly kindness, charity. So that word Philadelphia is translated twice in that verse, 2 Peter, as brotherly kindness. And then the next two lines are the actual, the word itself, the city, Revelation 1:11 and Revelation 3:7. There it says, and unto the angel of the church at Philadelphia, write these things. Oliver B. Green, in his commentary on Revelation, says, brotherly love is a distinct characteristic of the household of God. Ephesians 2:19, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Show me a church where there's no love. I'll show you a church that, if it's not dead already, is dying. And it should. Listen, we're supposed to love one another. You say, Pastor, some people aren't easy to love. And I'd say to anyone who says that to me, I'd say, neither are you, but we love you anyway. Amen. Amen. Number 3, page 2, the author. The author. We have the area, the assembly, the author. Verses 7 and 8, Jesus reveals himself as... Oh, these are blessed verses here back in Revelation chapter 3. What's the first thing that he reveals to us in verse 7? He says, these things saith he that is holy. He's holy in his nature. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe this is where the modern church, the come as you are, leave as you came church, I believe this is what's missing in most of those churches, is the holiness of God. Our God is holy. Yes, He's our friend. Yes, He's a friend of publicans and sinners. Yes, we can go to Him anytime. But you listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. The Lord Jesus is holy in His nature. Next verse, or verse 7, next phrase there in verse 7. He that is holy, he that is true. He's not only holy in His nature, He is true in His character. The word true there, the word genuine. He's genuine. Don't you just hate a phony? Amen? Don't you just hate somebody that's a phony? By the way, you'll find out if somebody's a phony sooner or later. Jesus Christ is so genuine. He's so true. In Him, the Bible says, came grace and truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. He's true in His character. Then He says also in verse 7, He that hath the key of David, He is kingly in His authority. If you want to look up a reference there, Luke chapter 1, verse 32, 33, 34 tells us that Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne of His father David. And I believe this was an important statement because there were Jews that were claiming Jewish authority. And Jesus said, no, 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 I'm the one that has the key of David. I'm the King of Kings. I'm the one that has true authority. He's kingly in His authority. I like this in verse number 7. At the end of the verse it says, He that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. He's sovereign in His purposes. He's sovereign in His purposes. What does sovereign mean, Pastor? It means God can do whatever He wants to do. We're not Calvinists, and Calvinists have taken that word and made it to mean things that it doesn't mean. Listen, but God is sovereign. And listen, when He opens a door, nobody can shut it. And when He shuts it, no man can open it. That means He's sovereign. Listen to me, God does what He wants. You said, well, that's a little scary. Listen, don't be scared. God is holy, God is just, God is love, so He can't do anything but good when He does what He wants. He's sovereign in His purposes. And then verse 8, He says, I know thy works. He's omniscient in His judgments. He's omniscient. He knows all. When He judges, it's because He knows everything. He knows all. He's omniscient in His judgments. By the way, to those cults that don't believe Jesus is God, I wonder what you do with verses like this. I wonder what you do. The fact that Jesus knows our works and He's sovereign in His purposes and He's kingly in authority and He's true and holy just tells me, Pastor John, He's God. He's God in the flesh. Number four, the approval. The approval. The author, the assembly, the area, the approval. Our Lord commends this church for their, number one, for their feebleness. For their feebleness. Look what it says there in verse number eight. It says right down there in the middle of the verse, "For thou hast a little strength." For thou hast a little strength. You say, Pastor, why would God commend this church for having a little strength? Most commentators believe that the Church of Philadelphia, Brother Cook, was not a large church. It was a smaller church. Nowadays, they would have probably convinced it, Mr. Sammons, to merge with another church because it was so small. But here's what God said. When I look at the Word of God and I see, we have the references there. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. Let me read those to you. "And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, and My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in My infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake." And here's the key, folks. "For when I am weak, then am I strong." This was a church that, in the world's eyes, it just had a little strength. But I want to tell you, and we'll get to it in our applications, a little human strength can mean a lot of divine strength. Amen. Because when we're remember what God said to Saul when He rejected him from the kingdom? He said, hey, when you were little in your own eyes, that's when you were something for God. I think there's humility there, ladies and gentlemen. Let's not think of ourselves as more than we are, because we're all just sinners saved by grace. Amen. I had the privilege to see a new Christian out. He picked me up at the airport, and his name is Christian. I was like, that's great. Amen. That's fantastic. Just got saved a little while ago, and his name is Christian. And Brother Sammons, in the back of his car, he had a New American Standard MacArthur Study Bible. And so what I did was I said, pull over, and let's throw this trash out. No, I didn't. He's a brand new Christian. Amen? He's a brand new Christian. Needed somebody to encourage him. And here he was, just a little bit of strength in the Lord, but the Lord was doing a great work in his heart. He commended them for their feebleness. In the world's eyes, they were not very impressive. And we give you the cross reference there in 1 Corinthians 1:27. "God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound them that are wise." Amen. Listen, God can't understand how, or God understands, but the world can't understand how we support 18 missionaries all over the world. How we have fruit to abound to our account. How we that are obedient to Christ can live on 90% of our income. The world can't figure that out. To them, that's foolishness. To God, it's obedience. Amen. And God blesses. He blessed them, He commends them for their feebleness. He commends them, number two, for their faithfulness. Their faithfulness. Read a great quote here by Lehman Strauss. "Our Lord revealed the secret of that church's spiritual strength when He said, 'Thou hast kept My word.' Keeping the word of the Lord does not mean they merely believed it. There are professing Christians in dead churches who will tell you they believe God's word, but their belief is merely intellectual and academic. They hold to a dead orthodoxy of the letter without the spirit. The church in Philadelphia guarded the integrity of God's word by their behavior, and that is still the way to guard the integrity of God's word today, by our behavior." Listen to me, Christian, you should be the best employee at your job. You should be you're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. He commended them for their faithfulness. He said there in Revelation chapter number 3, He said, "Thou and hast kept My word." And He commends them not only for their feebleness and their faithfulness, but for their forwardness. for their forwardness, and hast not denied my name, it says at the end of verse 8. And then we learn in verse 9 on your outline, despite persecution from those or from the synagogue of Satan, those that were Jews, that said they were Jews but weren't, the church at Philadelphia did not deny the name of Jesus. You know, Brother Boston, there are Christians in Sudan that have a machete put to the back of their head and they're offered to deny Jesus. And they don't. I wonder. Let me not wonder after you. I wonder about me, Brother Becker. I wonder if someone held a gun to my head or someone held a gun to my children's head and said, deny Jesus. I wonder, Pastor John, if I would. I hope I wouldn't. I pray I wouldn't. As a matter of fact, I pray that God helps me to never deny His name because He never denies me. Amen. But I wonder, this church, God commended them for their forwardness. Not only did they not deny the name of Jesus, but they went out telling people about Jesus when it was dangerous to do so, Brother Jack. It was dangerous in Roman days. You remember the story of the fish? What is that all about? It was a sign of safety and greeting between Christians. They would draw it on the front step, and that meant everything was okay. You could come in. Forwardness. Number 5, the admonition. The admonition. Only this church and the church at Smyrna have the unique distinction of receiving no reproval from the Lord. Wouldn't that be wonderful? No reproval at all in this church. God said, I've only got good things to say about the church of Philadelphia. Wow. Number 6, let me give you the appeal. God gives us several appeals here. The appeal. In verses 8, 10 through 13. Number 1, the first appeal that God gives is in verse 8. It says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Realize the opportunity of the open door. Realize the opportunity of the open door. Listen, there are open doors to missionaries that are only open for a certain time, and then they close down. I think of missionaries after World War II. Douglas MacArthur called for missionaries to go in the Far East. We heard from Brother Norton's testimony at our missions conference. Douglas MacArthur called for 10,000 missionaries to Japan and Cambodia and North Korea. Think about folks could go into North Korea after 1945. But around 1953, you couldn't get in anymore. God says here to this church, realize the opportunity of an open door. He had given them an open door. Perhaps, and it's just conjecture, perhaps it was because of their location. Where Attalus Philadelphius wanted to Hellenize the world, Jesus Christ wanted to Christianize the known world there. So He had given them a great open door. Realize the opportunity of the open door. And give you some great verses there on the open door. All those verses regard a door. That metaphor of the door. Remember, there was a time when Paul wanted to go to Asia. And God said, nope, the door was closed. And then later on, God opened it here. So realize the opportunity to open door. Number 2, recall God's goodness to His church. The appeal not only to realize the opportunity, the open door, but to recall God's goodness to His church. Verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And again, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to spend some time on it. Verse chapter 4, verse 1, we're going to deal with the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And God here says, hey, listen, you've kept my word. And I'm going to keep you from temptation that's going to come upon all the earth, from testing. Recall God's goodness to His church. Number 3, regard the return of Christ. Verse number 11, He says, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Oh, that every day of our lives, saints, we would regard the return of Christ. Listen, that doctrine alone according to the Scriptures, will keep us from iniquity. He that hath himself, he that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself even as he is pure. What's the hope? The blessed hope is that Jesus Christ could return at any moment. And when he comes back, we want to be found faithful, and all God's people said. Want to be found faithful. So regard the return of Christ. 4, rewards are for those who hold fast. Rewards are for those who hold fast. Do you know, and of course that's there in verse number 11, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Dealing with rewards. Do you know, Brother Wally, that you don't have to hang on to your salvation? God holds that. Amen? But he does say, if you want rewards, you hold fast. You stay at your post, for you military people. You stay at your post until I come back. Amen? Rewards are for those who hold fast. And then, of course, verse 13, he not only appeals to us to remember to listen. Listen to what God has to say to the churches. Remember to listen. Let me give you 7 applications. We'll be done just about 8:15 right now. There's that word, that Greek word, Philadelphia, the applications. Philadelphia says more than our lips ever could. Philadelphia says more than our lips ever could. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Brotherly love says more than our lips ever could. When people come to our church, they ought to leave Brother Meyer saying, boy, those people love each other. Man, that's a loving church. You know, I'd rather have that than just about anything. I want to be doctrinally pure. I want to be faithful. But I tell you what, I was in a church Sunday morning. My home church, it's such a loving church. And it's just such a blessing. I'm glad I'm part of a loving church where we love one another. Amen. When one of us hurts, we all hurt. Amen. When one of us rejoices, we all rejoice. We love one another. Philadelphia says more than our lips ever could. Number 2, only God can open and close doors of opportunity. Only God. We ought to just pray for wisdom. Even when I prayed about coming here, I prayed, Lord, open the door so wide that I'd have to walk through it. Or close it so tight that I'd bump into it and know it. Amen? And God opened the door in a special way. But only God can do that. Only God can do that, according to our text here. Something else concerning the idea of open doors and closed doors. Number 3, it's better to pray than to push. Amen? A lot of people are sitting there trying to push a door open that God has closed instead of praying. Instead of praying that God would open a different door for them. You may say, this is what I want to do with my life. This is what I want to do with my life. This is what I want to do. What if God closed that door? That's why he wants you to pray. Ask him for guidance. It's better to pray than to push. Number 4, very, very important. Maybe you mark an asterisk next to this. Our beliefs are proven by our behavior. Our beliefs are proven by our behavior. Amen, church? What you really believe, you live. You live. If you have a low opinion of the holiness of God, then it's not surprising that a Christian would drink and take part of fleshly sins. But if you truly believe that God is high and holy and altogether lovely, you want to glorify that belief by your behavior. It's our living sacrifice to God, isn't it? Our life, how we live. So our beliefs are proven by our behavior. Number 5, with God, a church with a little strength is truly powerful. With God, a church with a little strength is truly powerful. I'm thinking of a church right now. Brother Heath knows the pastor. His name is Brother Orville Theaker, up in Wolverine, Michigan. A small church, amen, Brother Heath, about 50 or 60 people. I believe for several years now, their missions yearly budget has been over $100,000. 50 and 60 people, folks. That's just a church with just a little strength. God put his hand on it in such a special way. Amen. And here's why. When you have your own strength, do you really need God? But when you say, boy, I don't have any strength, God, you've got to help me. You know what? God delights to help his people. So with God, a church with a little strength is truly powerful. Number six, the enemies of God will bow the knee. The enemies of God will bow the knee. Every one of them. And it says here in verse number nine, it says, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Lastly, number seven, faithfulness has its rewards both now and later. Say, what was the reward now? Verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the earth. And then verse 12, he that overcometh, and he lists several things here, I'll make him pillar in the temple of my God, he shall go out no more, I'll write him upon the name of my God, in the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. And at the end of the verse, I will write upon him my new name. Listen, I know we're in this series on continue, and I'll close here, it's time to close. We're in this series on continue. Don't quit. Reward day's coming. Amen. I praise the Lord. My last illustration, honestly, this is it. When I worked in Connecticut, I was able to stop by there the other day and say hi to everybody. And I told the fellows last night, I said, you know, they said, hey, Rich, your desk is still open if you want to sit down over there and inspect some parts. We could use a little help around here. And of course, they were kidding. But I remember, Pastor John, we had performance-based bonuses. Performance-based. Not union-driven. Lord help us. If you're in a union, God bless you. But it was performance-based. The whole company did well, Brother Mark. Everybody did well. And I want to tell you something. We worked hard up to the goal. And then we got rewarded. I remember one time they came around, Brother Sammons, and it said 19% quarterly bonus. I looked at that check and ogled it. There was a big comma there. I don't get a lot of checks with commas in them, amen? I get a lot with the decimal point, amen? But this one had a big comma. I couldn't believe it. It was reward day. Listen, reward day's right around the corner, folks. Let's hold fast. Let's be like that church at Philadelphia. They were feeble, but they were faithful. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that we can trust in you to give us strength and power. Oh God, help us to be Philadelphian Christians. Help us to live out our beliefs by our behavior. Help us to depend on your strength and not ours. Help us to pray and not to push. Help us to be faithful until you come. Let's stand to our feet. Page 534. We'll sing one verse of this hymn of invitation if you'd like to come.